You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. It's the After Party, Outcast, Episode 9, Close to Home, which is an appropriate title since it's the penultimate episode of the end of the
yes.
season. If you think of home as Episode 10.
Well, which you might. You never know. You're like in the final stretch. And therefore, as is always the way with something episodic of this nature, like this is when a major shoe drops.
Yeah. And you
in
know,
quite a serious way.
You know, you might have listened to us bitching in the past quite a few episodes. Like, what exactly is the point of Megan and Mark's character? What is going on with those two? They just seem like kind of useless. I'm still not sure what the point of the Donnie thing was, but now we know at least what purpose Mark served, and that was to wear a red shirt.
Yes. So, poor Mark.
Yeah, he went down hard.
Yeah. And yet again, in the nicest possible caring for his wife way. Like, why? Like, nobody in recent television history has had this rough of a time from trying to do the right thing for his spouse.
Yeah, he's a dumbass, but he's a sweet dumbass.
Or, well, he's dead dumbass.
Was, yes. That's what you get. The devil comes in and goes, well, sorry, man, you're just not interesting enough for prime time.
Wallop. Well, yeah, but as we have established, whatever these things are.
Yeah, they're probably not demons, per se.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, after last episode where we had, well, we still haven't ruled that out.
Yeah. I mean, could be some just very specific version of a demon that's not really demonic in a traditional sense.
Yeah, they're very much, they're here for reasons. In fact, as has been established,
yeah.
When they do bad things, it's not really their fault.
Yeah,
it's the degree of confusion.
Yeah, they're discombobulated when they first get here.
And in fact, kind of like, now we've got an opportunity to look back on the rest of the season. The only time, you look back at, was it episode 3?
Mm-hmm.
Where the detective killed his friend's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again, we seem to be getting evidence that that was one of these first arrivals. So when we're getting this reinforced here with what happens to Megan. Oh, poor Megan.
And, you know, it seems there are people who just infiltrate very easily into society here, as we've seen, like the fire chief's wife, Kat.
Yeah.
He's like, whatever, I just, you know, do my job, go about my life, love my husband. And then there are those who don't infiltrate so nicely, like the serial killer.
Yeah.
You know, who's like, you know, I maybe it's just saying, look, there's like, just like any, there's more of us here than you think. The thing is, just like your population, we got some crazies too.
Yes.
I don't know. It's hard to say. They do seem statistically to have a outsized amount of the nasty, still not very nice people after the period of transition is already over.
Only if they're caught. Even then, they manage to keep a lot of stuff under control. I mean, Sydney's relationship with his host.
Yeah.
Or Sydney's relationship with his symbiote.
Very true. But Sydney's also not a nice guy. I mean, he fucking carved a pentagram in the Reverend's chest.
He's if you go with the line from last week that they're, you know, they're just trying to do what they're trying to do, he's more pragmatic than anything else.
I to some extent I agree. I mean, certainly it suits his purposes and the purposes of his people well to continue having the general public believe the Reverend has just gone off his rocker, which he does yet again here. But he seems to be taking a malicious glee in it, though, as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's not. I'm not saying like he's, you know, a candy striper or anything. But I mean, he could have done far worse things.
Yeah, I mean, him showing up to the actual deacon meeting with a giant donation just so he knows he'll be there when
just,
the Reverend
just to
shows
fuck with
up.
The Reverend is classic Sydney.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like I said, he's not a nice guy. I don't know about out-and-out evil, but he's certainly not nice. It does actually make me doubt to some extent that maybe he didn't kill the previous resident of that trailer. Maybe
I'm pretty sure he did. Yeah.
Okay.
Because of the razor.
Yeah.
The straight razor's in his hand.
But he still won't kill children.
No. Well, yeah, but I think that's the thing. He's a methodical killer.
Yes. He's not a pragmatic killer.
He's not a random
right.
random serial.
Although I'm starting to wish he would. Patricia's kid, little red-headed bastard, is like...
I love it's reinforced this week that Sydney's like, you're a prick. I really don't like you or need you around, and you kind of worry me.
He is a prick.
Yeah, it's like, I'm actually evil, so...
yeah,
why are you hanging around, please? Yeah, please reinforce this for me.
He's more lawful evil, and the kid is more chaotic evil.
Yeah.
You know? as shown when he... manipulates his mother completely. You know, it actually tells him, the reverend, straight up, yeah, my dad used to beat me and my mom. Guess you're not going to be showing up anymore.
Nope. Like, wow. The reverend's like, God damn it, I was finally going to get some.
It just fell right into that trap. You clever gingers.
we are sinister. It is true.
In this episode, you're certainly one of you's turning ginger sinister, as we see, like we said, Megan. But, you know, first off, very distracting. You get me all hot and bothered showing her in a sexy shower.
Yeah.
It's a very sexy scene. And then all of a sudden,
well, that's inevitably
possessed.
Like when things are going to go wrong.
What, in a sexy shower?
Yes.
You should... I don't want to know about
your
sexual history.
Well, for you, it's like, you know, no. I mean, it's just television's going to go, oh, tease, splat.
Yeah.
Poor Mark. I mean, this was the best of times, worst of times episode. I mean, like, you know, a little thing that seems to have been got about, she is pregnant.
Yes.
Which is really fascinating. That's an interesting moment for her to throw in there. And they're, you know, about to get their lives together. This is a series that is not going to let anybody off the hook.
No.
Bad things are going to happen.
I think anyone who we've seen on camera is going to have, if not a bad end, then at least not a good one.
Yeah.
also, we're seeing the fire chief and Kat, who were being kicked out of town by Giles, only to have Sydney show up and go, I have a special purpose for you. Apparently in a mannequin factory. I don't know what's going on there, but I do like that they have a conversation there where he's like getting nervous about this, and she's like, you know, I don't know if it's just pure manipulation or not. It sure looks like it in this scene. She's like, oh, there's no you and me without doing this, basically whatever Sydney says, and then literally grabs his junk.
Yeah.
You're like, the fire chief isn't the smartest.
I'm wondering if in season two he's going to start working out. It's like, oh, no, it's not actually my wife after all. I can pretend to myself as much as I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this, you know, the mannequin factory is pretty... the implication is now that they're down the hut in the woods, the cabin in the woods, they've got to find something else. Now, the question is, why do they need so much more space?
Yes, well...
why do they need... I mean, if something small and remote in the middle of nowhere was enough before... Why now are they just...
Because their numbers have been accelerating, it seems.
Yes.
You know, so, and will continue to be, apparently. So it looks like Kyle and the Reverend got their work cut out for them, although the Reverend was next to useless for the last three or four episodes. Although he's trying now. Towards the end of this episode, he's
getting a bit smarter about things.
Yeah, he's starting to realize that, like... I really actually do have to let this whole ego thing go about this, and just I'm Kyle's assistant, not the other way around.
Yeah. Particularly the moment where Kyle says, well, your shit doesn't work, does it? And he's like, this time he's like, yeah, my shit doesn't work, does it? No, I've been going about this all wrong. I mean, this is a lot of setup in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
But like I said, it's the classic format of how you do this, is you suddenly go, here, you know, here's everything we're going to set up for the finale, and there's no way we're going to be able to deal with it all in one go.
No, absolutely not.
Not least the fact that Megan just killed her husband.
Yes, which, honestly, to some extent, I'm a little grateful for. I'm sure Mark's a super sweet guy, not a terribly interesting character.
Yeah. Whereas, tragically, Kyle, yet again, can this guy have 1 minute break? It's like, oh, his wife's back. She's dropped the kid off, and now she's checked herself into a mental institution.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's such a... Like, he goes in, and this moment where he actually opens up to her and starts telling her the truth, and she's like, whatever, I'm clearly crazy.
Yeah.
And you're like, it doesn't matter what you tell her, she's never going to believe it.
Yeah.
She's crazy because she thinks she's crazy.
Yeah. And more importantly, she's like, you know, she's going, wherever is it, you know, I need to be here because whatever has happened, I don't feel like I can be trusted with my own daughter.
Yes.
Or with you. I love the way that's very subtly been built up as kind of a totally dysfunctional romance that's not their fault at any level. This is a couple that truly love each other and keep thinking that the way to be the best thing to do for each other is to stay away from each other. Which does make me wonder if that's part of Sydney's plan.
Could be.
Because the whole thing all along has been Sydney going, well, you have to keep Kyle ring-fenced. And even if he has an ally like the Reverend, what you have to do is make the Reverend look like a complete bozo.
Yeah.
So that Kyle is going to think he's a bozo, so he's going to doubt himself. It's all about keeping Kyle separate from everybody else. Well, that, why wouldn't that include Kyle's wife at this point?
True.
Yeah, so I think that's an interesting possibility.
By the way, just for the record, I know you're very fond of that actress who plays his wife. She is in the first three episodes of The Girlfriend Experience.
Is she?
Yes, just so you know. She's pretty sexy, playing a call girl.
Oh, bless her.
There you go.
I do like Caitlin Chiel. She is a fine, fine actress. People should see Silver Bullets because she's great in that. And not least because, like, nobody's seen Silver Bullets. It's like me and three other people. I think two of them were in it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen it either.
You probably haven't.
First reference. You don't mean Stephen King's Silver Bullets?
No, Joe Swanberg's Silver Bullets.
Okay. You know, I haven't seen it.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. Anyway, that brings us to the end of this week's episode, After Party. We'll be back in another week for the big finale, so stay tuned.